Hello, my friend, Dan Riley, sharing another time with you. Your brother here still at Big Sur, California, at a monastery, a wonderful place, New Kamavali, a hermitage way up on the mountainside, and in these days, deluged by rain. You might know it, you might feel it if you're here in California, the need for rain, the hunger for water that would pour down and bring life to the earth here, bring forth plants and help people have their living. So many needs we have, and we come into a season where the church, where scriptures, where God knows our need. We're entering now into Lent, and you may have had a chance to hear, and you might want to listen to a conversation Cyprian and I had from this monastery, this hermitage. Father Cyprian Concilio, the prior here, who has been a dear friend of mine and ours for a number of years. And I'm thinking of him and the community here, and I sort of dedicate this reflection that you and I share now to them. The call out from Paul on Ash Wednesday is notable from 2 Corinthians. And for me, it opens the door, sets the tone, and calls us into what you and I have been doing if you've been listening to these podcasts for a while. Paul invites us as brothers and sisters to be ambassadors for Christ. He continues, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's the heart of it. It's a great cry out for a reconciliation within us and within our lives, a deep sense not only of having peace, but seeking it, that reconciliation of having all things come together in Christ, in wholeness and fullness, in its completion even now. Oh, we wait for it, and we're hungry for the completion of many things. Maybe maybe a meal you're cooking now and you've set aside to listen to this, or thoughts about one later. We bring to things together, and then we bring them to others. And this is the nature of reconciliation as well. We sit and we seek God and Christ, the healing power of the one who has come to us. And in this Lenten season, we move in preparation for that great celebration of the Christian year, the dying and rising of Jesus, and the full celebration of that in Easter. We talk about it as a triduum, 3 days, the profound entering into the agony of Christ with him on Good Friday, having shared a last meal with him on Thursday night when he empowered all of us and called us to the call of service in his breaking of bread and washing our feet. And then on the vigil, calling ourselves quickly to the huge movement of from darkness into light, of letting go of the darkness of our own life and the world, we move to reconciliation, the celebration of it in the very Son of God. So Paul implores us to this on behalf of Christ. And you and I are ambassadors of that imploring, if that's a word, that outgoing, that evangelium, that longing for the good news to come alive for others. And we begin it with counsel from Matthew's Gospel on Ash Wednesday, and then it moves further into this time of our Lenten year. And Jesus simply talks about three things, alms giving. And not to blow our own trumpet in front of folks, but go about it somewhat privately, you know, giving care and needs and responding to the welfare of others, but doing it from a place of acknowledgement, of humility. And then in the midst of that, the beautiful thing I want to take a little time with, of where he calls us in prayer to not be self-conscious or public about it, but rather when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. And he says, who love to stand in places. No, he says, amen, I say to you, enter into that inner room. Very interesting notion. Pray to Father in secret. Pray to him from your inner room. What's that inner room? And then the last counsel, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Three themes of Lent, classic themes, fasting, similarly, not to do that in some radical public way or just to lose weight, as I often might think about. It's a good season to drop a few pounds. It's not to be gloomy, not to be public, but rather, I think, to be conscious of how much we have as we step a bit aside from things that we might normally think we need, to fast a little, to find out what we really need, this deep reconciliation that the season calls us to, and to be ambassadors, to grow as ambassadors for that. So it's not a self-centered season, one that only has us be reconciled for ourselves, for having our sins forgiven, for having the healing happen that it truly is ours and given to us right now in the peace of this moment. Right now, not so much in your listening to me, but in you and I taking time, letting time take us beyond time into the very heart of God and our heart. And I believe this is the inner room. It's intimacy. It's not so much private as exclusionary, but a profoundly singular place is your heart and mine and our encounter of God there. God coming to us there, God's encounter with us there. Acknowledging that at times my heart is not pure, it's complicated or cluttered or preoccupied or self-centered heartfulness. Rather, we're invited to a heart simple, clean, pure, as in open now, to the heart of all hearts, God's heart open for us in Christ, and reconciled with that heart, one with that heart, full, heart full with the heart of Christ. This is, and I feel it now, the joy of this season. And it's interesting, the church calls us in each of these seasons, Advent and Lent, to seasons of joy. I think it's my ego that would turn it into, well, wait a minute, I got a lot of work I got to do. And that's true. I mean, you forget it, man. I got to fast, I got to give alms, and I've got to pray. Okay, good stuff, but not out of self-preoccupation or public notation. Rather out of this inner room, this intimacy now that God has with us. Not, again, private as exclusionary of others. I mean, the beautiful thing is that in our heart of hearts is God's heart for us and for all others. And in my brother or sister's heart at this very moment, she or he are open to this possibility, this reconciliation as well. We can look at each other with smiles on our faces and say, is this not wonderful? Which is where the Alleluia comes from. Praise God, he has risen. And he does now from our hearts. It's not a time sequential thing. We remember right now with a smile, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And that's the reconciliation. The power of the truth of our core faith would have us open our hearts to places we haven't been open to, a deeper place in this inner room, a resting in this inner room, so that now God and I and you and each of us might meet and reconcile, become whole and full, full of what we reflect on, what we come to these moments for, what I hope you enter into now a little bit more, in your own quiet, your own place, peace. As we often say, not peace as a cessation of noise or violence, yes, that too, but rather peace as the fullness of the faithfulness of God abiding in us and speaking words of love to us now and asking us to listen. Listen so that we will speak from a place of peace. We will go out from those interwombs, yes, wombs of life and places where God is born again and bursts forth and are going forth peacefully, reconciled, not frenetically, not nervously even, but with our anxieties and fears dispelled, for Christ is our peace and we are ambassadors of that Christ. And Lent is a time when we learn it. As we enter now and have into the interroom of Christ's own heart, where he finds our heart and we find ours, and then with new courage, open-heartedness, we enter again the world of our day. Peace, my friend, and deep reconciliation. This is Dan Riley, your brother, just treasuring this time. On a very rainy West Coast, I send you blessings of this Lenten season and the peace of Christ.
Singing, Jesus, oh Jesus, be here.